Hey, Nick.
Hey, John.
So I was going to use our usual intro and think of a joke, but I couldn't produce one.
Think you just did.
And this is Stranger Still.
Since we've recorded.
Yeah.
But we're back from October month.
October month?
Welcome, October month. Welcome. It's November and we're still.
Well, it's been a splendid October month. And we have grown to gather a lot of good, great friends.
Yeah.
On Twitter and Facebook and even in real life. I met a really nice guy at the grocery store. And he had all kinds of veggies and fruits to tell me about.
Yeah.
Which he asked me, do you need help? I was like, nah.
Oh. I thought that story was going to go somewhere, but...
Oh, like it would be a segue? To
yeah.
What?
Well, first of all, I'm Nick Wood.
Oh, I'm John Vegan.
You're listening to a little podcast called Stranger Still.
And we answer questions...
that you've never questioned to ask. We're back in a normal month of November. I hope everyone had a good October month celebration.
But now it's time to go to normal month.
Normal month. Normal month.
Normal month. It's November.
Yeah.
Normal month.
What, do we just have to make our own brand for each month now?
Yeah, I mean, October month was pretty hard to come up with,
yeah.
So I don't know if we can top that.
Yeah. Well, we'll try.
Welcome to normal month. And what are we kicking normal month off with?
Well, let's go bananas.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S?
Yeah. I don't have a follow-up to that.
Oh, you don't have to follow back, girl. Holler back, girl.
You talked about produce, and we're going to talk about produce today, and I want to tell you a little story about the Cavendish banana, and the gross Michel banana, I think, or Mikkel, I don't know.
The gross Mikkel Mikkel?
Yeah, it's spelled G-R-O-S M-I-C-H-E-L.
Cool, I wonder if the marketing had anything to do with that going extinct.
Well, legend goes that the reason that banana candies don't have the same taste as bananas that we get in the supermarket is because the flavor that the candies are based on was based off the gross Michel bananas. And eventually a fungus supposedly wiped out all of the gross Michel bananas, and the Cavendish banana that we all know and love, the ones that we see in Walmarts across the nation, your friendly, slender, yellow friend, stepped in its place.
Are we talking about The Simpsons?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I think I've heard of the gross Mikkel banana before, didn't I?
Probably.
Is it Mikkel or Michelle?
I have no idea.
Okay. Because I thought there was a guy named Mikkel, and he's growing his bananas, and he's like, hey guys, I just got a new crop.
And everyone else is like, you're gross.
And he's like, no, just try it. I'm so sorry.
Oh, God, Michelle. But apparently the gross Michelle bananas had been the American favorite up until they got wiped out, and they tasted very slightly different, which is why the candies tasted that way. They've just never changed.
So the candies must have started to be produced around that same time then?
Yeah, that's what the legend says, but I'm about to shatter your world.
Okay.
Because I believed this, but according to hoaxes.org, which is a site that I learned of yesterday, the story is, quote, very, very unlikely.
That gross Michel existed?
No, that the reason that candies taste different is because they were based on the gross Michel, and the gross Michel got wiped out.
Oh. So really, it was just some lazy guy in an office like, this is good enough.
Yeah, this is, I mean, whatever. But I was so sure of this whole story that I even brought it up when you brought this topic to me.
Yeah.
And that question was, where did all the good plants go?
You can make me tear up.
Yeah. Or rather, what fruits and veggies do we have in yesteryear that have since disappeared?
And there are many.
There are tons. I'll actually get to some numbers later, because I do have some numbers. But I think the actual question you brought to me was a little bit more amorphous than that, because you had come across a really great article called Wire Supermarket only has 5 kinds of apples.
Yeah.
It came from MotherJones.com, and I thought it sounded boring at first, but then as I was reading it, it hopefully, as you'll find, became fascinating.
And I remember there was a Stuff You Should Know episode, which we go back to a lot, but they're good educators.
Yeah.
That talked about how a lot of the apples that we get, even though, like, first of all, there were a bunch, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then beyond that, like, most of them are frozen and stored in, like, the apples, a lot of the apples that you buy in the grocery store are from, like, places, like, giant refrigerators.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just bring them out into the store.
Yeah. Well, I think most crops are like that because we get them year-round now.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm a little sick. I'm going to get mucusy this episode because the more I talk, the more stuffed up I get. So just bear with me, guys. I'm sick again.
And girls.
Surprise, surprise. Well, I call everyone guy. But the article starts off talking about this guy who is, like, apparently, like, the apple expert. They call him, like, an apple detective and all kinds of stuff. Because, like, people come to him with different species of apple, and they're like, what the heck is this? And he's like, oh, that's
a gross Michael.
That's a gross Michael.
Hmm, you see the sneeze on it?
Gross. But he farms all types of apples. The article says he's got, like, purple ones and, like, yellow mangled type ones and so forth. The point being that there's a ton of apples out there.
So like he's a little apple detective, like Apple Kid from Earthbound.
Yeah, I haven't played that.
It's my favorite game.
I know. I need to play it. I'm sorry. I've let you down.
I have a fantasy of making a Stranger Still podcast video game based on Earthbound.
Yeah.
RPG style.
Yeah. We'll get there.
So if you like that, leave your comments below right now.
And if you want to make a video game for us for free, make the art.
Yeah. Log into google.com.
Uh-huh.
Download how do I make a video game? Type that. Ask Jeeves.
Uh-huh.
Make sure you say, hello, Jeeves.
Hello, Jeeves.
How do I make a video game? And then work on it and get back to us.
But like you said, there's a ton of apples out there. It's just a matter of knowing where to find them. And since most people don't know where to find a bunch of apples,
mm-hmm.
they go to their local grocery store, and there's 5 different kinds.
Yeah.
There's Granny Smith, Honeycrisp. Those are the 2 I know.
Yeah, it's kind of like the media.
Right.
You got like 5 kinds.
I didn't think we were going to get political on this one.
They cover everything. You got like that Fox Apple mm-hmm. and like the CNN and mm-hmm. MSNBC.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yeah, but then sometimes you get like the genetically modified ones, like the grapples that are like TYT.
Yeah, and they're like super great.
Yeah. In my mind, this kind of sprouted the question, where did all those go? And why don't we have easy access to them? And the problem is there's a ton of ways that fruits and veggies disappear from our collective palate. And we'll dive into these, but there's natural selection, there's natural disasters, there's big supermarket, whatever you want to call it, like big tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into it. And then there's human influence, which is always a good topic to get
yeah,
into.
Yeah, we like to pick things out and make them cute and delicious, right? Like we made little pups.
And I always say I don't want to alienate any of our listeners or call their beliefs dumb
mm-hmm.
or anything. But here you go. I personally
okay.
I personally think it's ignorant to refute natural selection.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, the argument is that, oh, well, that was thousands of years ago, whatever, like, we can't know. But you can see it today.
Yeah.
You can go to a dog breeder and see it in, like, a matter of months.
Yeah.
If you wanted to. So to say that it's not a thing when everyone knows about dog breeding...
Yeah.
Everyone knows how that works. To say that natural selection isn't real is irresponsible.
Yeah. There's nothing... I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think you know what you're signing up for with this thing.
Yeah.
We tell some good jokes and some bad jokes.
And mostly, we sometimes get political.
Yeah, sometimes a little political. And most of the time, we don't apologize for that we are humans with opinions.
Yeah, sorry about that, though.
I don't want to be like
that was me apologizing.
Squeaky clean, fake neutral all the time.
Right. So, dog breeding. That's the point I'm trying to get at. And this is where I'll kind of lend over a little bit of expertise about dogs. So, what happens in dog breeding?
Well, and two dogs like each other very much.
Oh, I didn't know we were going there.
Oh, okay. they basically breed out the traits they don't like. That's what happened with pit bulls. They used to be bigger and meaner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they made them more docile and people-friendly.
Yeah.
And the way they do it is terrible, but
Yeah.
Well, I guess it depends. You could just stop the meaner ones from reproducing. That's mm-hmm. a nice way to do it.
Well, yeah. So the simplest way that I think I can explain it is that someone looks at a dog and they say, I like that thing about that dog.
Mm-hmm.
It could be their nose. It could be their length. It could be their demeanor. Whatever it is, they say, I like that. So when that dog's old enough to procreate, they have it make babies.
Well, yeah. First, they set them up on a date.
Uh-huh.
And they take them out. And they eat spaghetti. And they go...
Yep.
And they kiss in the middle
yeah.
of the spaghetti.
And every time.
Every time. And
it's a long process.
There's... I don't know. I mean...
first, you have to train them how to eat spaghetti.
The hardest part is that you don't have a good suction system as a dog. Like, uh-huh. they don't drink out of straws or anything. Uh-huh. So that's tough. Also, you go through a lot of spaghetti. It's kind of wasteful.
Yeah. And you have to, like, put a tarp everywhere.
A lot of sauce.
Because that sauce gets everywhere.
Everywhere. It never comes out.
Yeah.
And then they make new puppies.
Yeah. So in that new litter, though, once they start growing up, they look at the litter and they say, well, these dogs out of that litter have the traits that I desired out of this other dog.
Mm-hmm.
So then they take those dogs and have them procreate and so on and so forth.
Yep.
Until they get this perfect combination of everything they wanted in a dog.
And then they go,
yes, now I'm going to sell them for thousands.
Yeah.
Don't shop.
And then literally John Began shows up and kicks them in the teeth.
Yeah.
And then I rescue them.
And then you take a stamp that says hashtag adopt don't shop and you stamp it on their forehead.
Yep. And you just reminded me, I got to stop and get some new ink when I get out of here.
I'm glad to be of service. So humans, we've been doing this for a long time, not just dogs. We talked about on our milk episode with the Fertile Crescent cows, basically, the zebus.
Yeah.
They're nothing like the cows we have today. But ever since agriculture has been a thing, it's something that we've done on purpose. Maybe we got better milk from a cow or something like that.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it just happened on accident out of necessity.
Yeah. But it's also a lot of trial and error. A lot of sour otter milk we drink first.
That's disgusting.
Work our way up to zebu juice.
Yeah. Work our way up. There was this great article on... Again, this was a surprise to me on Business Insider. I'm always surprised when Business Insider has articles on the topics that we have because I'm like, I would never think to go to Business Insider. But they posted pictures of how fruits and vegetables looked before and after domestication. So, like, corn used to be this scraggly looking, like, wheat stalk space. It was like a stick with a few buds on the ends. Eggplants actually looked kind of like clementines. They're like these little orangish yellowish balls. And I didn't research this anymore, but I think that's why they're called eggplants, because they kind of look like egg yolks.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, how did we get from that tiny little yellow-orange vegetable to this long purple vegetable?
Yeah.
It's so weird. But the main thing to keep in mind, and this is especially apparent if you go and look at these photos, is that a produce's main objective is to spread the seed that's inside of the fruit. So an apple... The fruit on the outside is just a vehicle for the seed to move and spread and plant somewhere else.
So, like, this is a family show.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that kind of how, like, a lot of things work in life?
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. It's the trees and plants' ways of spreading their seed.
Yep. And how they do that is they take two apples or oranges or mm-hmm. whatever they want,
mm-hmm.
and they get a piece of spaghetti,
mm-hmm.
and they put them between them.
Yeah. But there's a picture on there of a really old watermelon, and the seeds take up like half of the watermelon. Like it was basically split up into quadrants, and each quadrant was like half of it was a seed. And now we have seedless watermelon.
Yep.
Because as we started growing these things, we need more food off of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're growing these scraggly little wheat stalks and using them as corn, that's not very much food. So eventually we start picking out the ones that are supplying more food, and over time, it bears more fruit.
Yeah, and that's how you came up with the watermelon vasectomy.
Not where I thought you were going
and
with
then
that.
It doesn't... Oh.
But we kept farming those with the intention of getting more food out of it. And going back to that article about apples, sometimes natural selection works in other ways of like natural disasters. They can't keep up with these, I guess, disasters that just hit them out of nowhere. There's no way that they can evolve to survive them.
Mm-hmm.
Like in that article, there was a picture of an apple that almost entirely went out of existence because of a particularly bad winter.
Yeah.
That happens all the time. And right now, we were talking before we started recording about bananas and how they're basically clones of all the other bananas.
Yeah.
And now bananas are in a little bit of a danger because there's some fungus going around infecting banana roots. So there's just stuff like that that just sprouts up out of nowhere that we don't have control over.
We have more effective means to control it.
We do. And it depends on like the farms and that sort of thing. But on some of these things, they like natural disasters, like hurricane maybe, if there's like one banana farm and a hurricane takes it out, mm-hmm. bananas are gone.
Okay. Riddle me this. Mm-hmm. What if, like, let's say we decided, hey, I want to like have really cheap gas, so mm-hmm. I'm going to bake these factories, and then like, ooh, it's getting pretty hot on this earth.
Yeah.
And then some of the bees die, and then you can't pollinate plants.
Mm-hmm.
Could that affect some of the plants we have? Would that be a natural cause?
I was going to save that to the end, but we can talk about it now. So yes, again, if you don't subscribe to global climate change, here's my thing. I don't care if you do or don't believe in it, but if you're just going to say, well, we don't need to do anything about it, that is harmful. Because whether or not global climate change is a thing, you should still be responsible just in case.
Yeah. If you don't believe in it, do some research.
Yeah.
Like non-bias.
Yeah.
Like from multiple sources.
Yeah.
And if you do believe in it, great. You're already with us. You're already there.
Yeah.
Good job.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing that convinced me, and maybe it'll convince some people that don't agree out there.
Yeah.
You talk about hurricanes. They talked about this on Trends Like These, that as the ocean temperatures rise, it's harder for the cool waters to squelch the hurricanes before they reach land.
Yeah.
Whereas before, it was much colder, and that did a lot to defeat the hurricanes.
Yeah. So storms are worse, and it impacts people more that way, too.
Yeah. And it is affecting our vegetation growth.
Mm-hmm.
There's just some areas of the world that maybe they used to grow wheat or corn or avocados or whatever, and now they no longer have the climate to grow those. Yeah. And that's increasingly becoming an issue. If you just go to your favorite search engine and say, this is why this is hard to research, because if you type in fruits and vegetables that went extinct, everything that comes up is 50 vegetables that are in danger of going extinct because of climate change.
Like, yeah.
Everything is about that.
And even then, like, you'll see stuff that you'll agree with, and sometimes I'll find things that I want to agree with,
mm-hmm.
but then I look into more research and find out, okay, maybe this isn't 100% true.
Yeah.
Maybe if the bees were to all pass on into the bee heaven with Bee-Jesus.
Bee-Jesus.
Then we would lose 60% of plants, but it's actually more like 10 to 15.
Yeah.
But even then, that's awful. That's terrible. And that can affect entire communities of people, and it's important
economies
to do that stuff. Yeah.
Some countries depend on their vegetation.
It's all butterfly effect.
Yeah. So we're covering a lot of topics, but my point is, whether or not you believe in climate change, just be good just in case. That's why I don't murder people, because what if I do get caught?
Yeah.
Just in case I'm not going to murder that person.
Yeah. That's what I think all the time. I'm like, oh, I'm going to totally murderify you, but the law.
Yeah.
Dang, damn it.
Actually, that was kind of a good transition, because I think this is where the fun stops, if it didn't already stop with climate change. As with most of our episodes, as I've come to find out, is we end up in not so fun town.
A little treacherous water?
A little treacherous water, because the water's warmer than it used to be, and so it can't squelch the waves. I don't know. This is where we introduce human intervention and capitalism.
Yay,
which is always two of my favorite things. There's really two people to blame here. There's big seed companies, which I think I referred to them earlier as big supermarket companies. I should just call them big seed companies.
Mm-hmm.
And can you guess who else? Our favorite?
The government?
You got it! I'm actually kind of surprised you got it, because I didn't know if you would, but you got there. So, according to Dr. Mercola of Mercola.com, he reports that back in the early 1900s, the government had made a decision to, quote, develop large export-oriented agriculture industries. So, rather than putting the focus here at home, we wanted to be able to sell our cattle and our vegetables and our fruits to other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And that had a lot of effects on how we see our supermarkets today. The biggest thing is that, farmers had to streamline the crops that they were growing, because we had to make it more than we needed. And then it also sprouted. I didn't even mean that. No pun intended.
You said that earlier, too.
I did?
Yep. You'll hear it later.
Man, I'm clever. On accident. It sprouted big seed companies.
He's so clever.
I'm That's pretty good.
Thank you.
So instead of leaving seed production to the farmers, most of that shifted to these new seed companies. This was supposedly so that they could research the seeds and mass produce them and eventually develop, we might get to this later, they eventually developed GMOs, genetically modified organisms. Now there was a separate party in control of what the farmers could grow for the most part. I mean, that's not 100% true, but it became the norm within the farmers' industry.
Yep.
And when profits and mass production are involved, you can imagine that means that there's a lot of diversity in seeds now, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Like the same way that we have so many presidential parties.
Yeah.
Like, we have, like, what, like two? Yeah. That's more than one.
Two and a half if you're being
generous. That's like double that Korea has.
That's that's actually true. Shout out to all our North Korean listeners out there. The point I'm getting is that the diversity in seeds was cut down drastically. They basically became the deciders of what would end up in our grocery stores.
Yep. And now we've gone from one controversial topic to another with GMOs. I like them.
Hang on.
I think they're good.
Before we get there.
Okay.
National Geographic did this great study from 1983 that showed the diversity, and they have like this graphic here, but I can also explain it here, so you don't need to go search this one. But they have this graphic that shows the diversity in fruits and vegetables from 1903 compared to 1983, a difference of 80 years right after the government started making that decision. So we're going to play a little game. You ready?
Yeah.
So back in 1903, we had 288 different species of beets. How many do you think we have had in 1983?
Oh, man. Well, 83 was like, Kid and Play had lots of beets. You had like...
I didn't even mean to set you up for this. Yeah.
I don't know. What's... What?
17. We went from 288 down to 17 species of beets. The biggest one, I think, is cabbage. We now have, back in 1983, we had 28 species of cabbage and 544 species in 1903.
Wow.
Yeah. So, thank you, government. Now, one article I read that went over this infographic also pointed out that this was back in 1983 when GMOs were first starting to get produced. They were maybe around for 10-ish years at that point. So, God only knows what this statistic looks like now.
Yeah.
Like, I saw this infographic and I was like, I don't remember seeing 28 different cabbages, maybe three.
Yeah.
Like,
cause then it comes down to a local level too.
It does.
And even like, okay, you said earlier, I just want to touch on before I forget, mm-hmm. you're talking about, exporting things out of the country because
mm-hmm.
we wanted to get our seeds out so we could get more money.
Uh-huh.
A lot of that I was reading up on our state specifically. That the vast majority of the food that's grown on our hundreds of acres, mm-hmm. thousands of acres, is exported. And we have, like, barely any local food. Like, you go to the grocery store in Iowa that's known for corn and buy, like, Mexican corn and, yeah. like, all this stuff from other places.
There's a misconception with that, too, because everyone's like, oh, Iowa's the corn state. You guys must have a lot of corn. We do have a lot of corn here, but a lot of the corn we grow is used for ethanol.
Yeah, it just goes straight to a factory and then shipped out.
Yeah. I'll let you talk about GMOs, and GMOs is pretty controversial.
Yeah.
So here's some facts about GMOs.
Okay.
They are seeds that are developed to be resistant to insecticides, for the most part.
Yeah.
There's other more shady things that people do to be able to put a patent on their seed. The other thing that I want to point out is that due to that patent, farmers can't buy an overstock, save some if they don't use some of the seeds, and then use them next year. Because then the companies go after them for patent fraud, which I think is shady and dumb.
Yeah.
So there's stuff like that. Insecticides, when you make them resistant to insecticides, what does that mean? They're going to use more, right?
Yeah.
Because they don't have to worry about hurting their plants. They're going to use more insecticides, which means that now there's more poison out there on our plants, which is pretty bad.
Yeah.
What did you want to say about GMOs? Do you like them?
I think it's great. Here's what my deal is. It's a tool.
Mm-hmm.
It's like CRISPR gene editing. It could be used for good
sure.
or bad. And there was a cool video I saw of a little girl that was saying that she was pro-GMO because there are countries that had staple foods like rice and they were lacking nutrients like mm-hmm. vitamin A or whatever.
Sure.
So they add that vitamin into the
that's
product.
That's great, yeah.
And they can help them get that way. So I think that's a really cool way to do that. But I think it's like it's a sliding scale like everything else. There's good and there's bad. But I think ultimately it's become a buzzword to put non-GMO on your products.
I am fully convinced that you can put any three-letter initials on foods that says no blankety blank blank and people will buy it.
BPA, MSG.
Yeah, like MSG. Any three-letter initials, you just say that it's not in there and it'll sell more. It's just all marketing. There are obviously two sides to the GMO things. I couldn't find any conclusive studies that say that they're bad for you. There's just theories out there. They could be bad for you. No proof yet. Like John said, there's places where it's used for good things, adding vitamins and minerals to stuff.
Yeah.
Just vitamins.
And even like, there's a really cool video that we should start posting some stuff up on the site for people to watch. And I'll show it to you later too.
Yeah.
With Bill Nye talking about how he was totally against them and then learned about them and is totally for them. Now.
Yeah. See, I think it's hard for me.
I respect that dude because I think he thinks critically.
Oh, yeah. The thing with GMOs is I'm split on it because it does do good things. But at the same time, the seed companies use this to exploit farmers, which I think is awful.
Mm-hmm.
It's expensive for them. It's not good for their land in some places. It's just there's always going to be people to exploit people that have no other choice.
So it might be cool on a nutritional level, but bad on a political level.
Yeah. So I'm split.
Yeah. I could hear you. Support farmers with like good GMOs.
And maybe that's just like an Iowa thing. Like I hate to see farmers. I know farmers. I've grew up around farmers. I've had friends that lived on farms. I hate to see them get exploited like that.
I've driven by food stores. I've driven by farms. I've eaten food. So yeah, I'm on the same page.
Yeah. Cool.
I met a farmer once, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
That was a good story.
What was his name? Cletus?
Cletus, the Midwest farmer man. I missed you, Nicholas.
My dad loves that voice.
Does he?
So the good news, though, I mean, all this stuff means that we're losing some vegetables and some fruits. The very cool thing, and I think you showed this to me too, is that there are seed conservationists out there. There's people that take seeds of pretty much any plant they can get their hands on, and they store them in a place where they can be resurrected later. And if we need to, we want to bring a plant back, there's this reserve of the seed that you just go and plant.
Yeah,
and
there's seed banks.
Seed banks.
Yeah, seed banks. There was a... What, I think it was Stuff You Should Know.
I don't know.
It might have been 90% Invisible.
One of those podcasts.
It was like a sciencey great, good great thing.
Yeah.
And they were talking about storing seeds on the moon.
Yeah.
And that'd be a really good place to keep things if you ever like had the Earth explode.
Yeah. Just all forms of life. Just I think that's eventually the goal, right? Just put all forms of life in a bank reserve somewhere.
Yeah, and then you go, yay! And then an asteroid hits the moon, you go,
oh. Oh, we should have put it on Venus.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I got, man. That's all I got on plants and where they're going. They're like bees. They're just leaving us.
Yep.
Want to recap for me?
Yeah. And one other thing that I think of all this, how hard was it to like get rid of all those seeds in those terrible, terrible, disgusting plants that did exist back then sometimes? I mean, I'm sure there was a lot of great stuff because you had, what, like 288 cabbages or something like that? But like, I bet you one of them was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
I would still grow it and try it. But like maybe it's a prank, but even then, like, you got watermelons that are just full of seeds.
Yeah.
And you had probably royalty that like to eat like rich exotic foods and be like, seed spitter, and call them in.
Ping.
Yeah. Fa-ping, fa-ping, and that's your job.
Yeah,
like I guess it like improved job growth because you had some weird obscure, like you were the seed scooper for the prince.
Gross.
That was your job.
yeah you just have to catch them.
So humans,
that's where baseball came from.
Yeah, that is where, that's how baseball was invented. My recap is that humans are very particular.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to be too cold. We don't like to be too hot.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like our puppies to be too mean.
Mm-hmm.
We like to make them cute and fluffy and great.
Yep.
Some people like things different, big dogs and small dogs. And it goes for everything, including our food.
Yep.
And then the government says, oh, I need to profit on this.
Of course.
So they step on in and there's a big mix and it's way more complicated than that.
Mm-hmm.
But we used to have many things. We picked our favorites and they've died away.
Yep. Cool. All right, John, before we get into listener questions, we have a couple shout outs to make.
Yes.
Don't we? We got a couple new reviews. We've got another one from the KFM who said Trey informative. And we got another one from our good friends. It's under Bobby Bronson, but it came from the TNB podcast.
Yeah, which is really, really neat. Definitely worth checking out if you're into like after hours type stuff.
Yeah.
It is not like us.
Yeah, it is for adults, so just go into that, but very funny.
Yeah, and very funny dudes, very nice, yeah. Nice guys.
Yeah, so and, go listen to them.
We got a bunch of new Twitter buddies lately.
Yeah.
And it's been really fun getting to interact with people like That's Life Podcast and Kill by Kill. We're killing it lately. No, like pun literally intended.
Yeah.
So
we're almost to 100 followers on Twitter. So go follow us. Maybe we'll do something special if we get 100.
Maybe we'll pick you a treat. Send in the mail.
They'll just show up all rotted and gross.
Let us know if you like chocolate or vanilla better.
Yeah. Tweet at us at Stranger Still. Let us know if you like chocolate or vanilla. We'll send that on its way. We also have a Facebook group. Just search for Stranger Still on Facebook and you'll find us.
And then you could go to StrangerStillShow.com where you can get this podcast that you're listening to.
Podcast on there. Also, just, I'm not going to ask you guys to do anything other than follow us on Twitter and Facebook and go to our site. But share with a friend that you think might like this.
Yeah. And I'm not going to ask you to do anything else besides follow us on Twitter and follow us on Facebook and listen to it and share it with a friend. But maybe leave us a review.
Yeah. Yeah. Just sit in a car with your friend and force them to listen to our podcast while you're driving somewhere. And then also open up their phone and start typing a review for us.
Yeah. Download their favorite album and then change our podcast to all their favorite album title songs and then put it back on their iPod when they're out looking.
Yeah. My Aunt Lisa, I doubt that she's listening, but if you are, Lisa, hi. Back when Train's like hit came out, I forget what's... Now she's back in, you know that song?
Yeah, yeah.
What's that called?
Drupal Drop Jupiter in her error.
Yeah, that hit. She's like, can you burn me a CD? How many tracks can you put on a CD? And we're like, I don't know, 24 or something. She's like, just make a CD with 24 of that song on it for me.
Oh my God. Aunt Lisa.
Yeah, Aunt Lisa. She's great.
Oh my God. So that's the best mix.
I know. It's such a good mix, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Should we get a listener question?
Sure.
The best listener question I could find this week. I posted on Facebook. I asked for questions that people wanted answered on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And the best question that was posted was from My Life. She wanted to know, but why male models? And it just made me so laugh so hard I couldn't resist. So here's your answer.
Think about it, Derek. Male models were genetically constructed to become assassins. They're in peak physical condition. They can gain entry to the most secure places in the world. And most important of all, models don't think for themselves. They do as they're told.
That is not true.
Yes, it is, Derek.
Okay.
So, there you go, Shelby. You're welcome. That's why I'm male models. You got anything else for me?
Not yet.
No? I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
This has been
Stranger Still.